Okay, so the topic I want to talk about today is the issue of police, police activity, police force activity on Shabbos in the state of Israel. Now, I've given versions of this shiur before, but this one is a little bit different. Because of that huge sign downstairs. So 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you met him, Uriel Cohen was going around. He was from Yeshivat Eilat. So he's also happens to be the mankal of a new organization called Ma'aminim B'Mishtara, which is an organization which was created as a think tank of how to deal with problems that arise with from people in the army. And he saw that big sign, so he approached me in shul, and he said, I see you're giving a shiur on police in Israel on Shabbos, so I want to give you a copy of the book. On condition you send me a recording of the shiur afterwards, I want to hear what you have to say. So I got some additions. He had some of the classic material there, which I'd seen before, but a lot of new stuff, which was first published in this book. So if you haven't seen the book, I will endorse it. It is very interesting. It's like 300-something pages. Okay, so if I asked you right off the bat, what issues could arise with police activity in general, for from people, specifically on Shabbos in the state of Israel, right? What types of problems might arise? What might be some solution to those problems? Right? If we're going to cast our net wide, right? What type of issues would you think about should go into this topic?
Writing up a report on some petty matter.
Okay, right. So we're already jumping here. So what issue are we implying is not an issue? Right? Rayleigh's only jumping to what is an issue. What would be the first question, right? The very basic thing, right? A police officer is called for someone calls and says, I'm being chased by someone who wants to kill me. So, at that point, it's very clear. The halacha is, koach nefesh, mutter. Right? That's not even a question. But assuming there's a person who's Shomer Shabbos in the army, and now we're not talking about someone's chasing you with a gun, but we're post the crime, and now you need to bring the person in, you need to write up the report, or a host of similar issues. You need to take fingerprints. And all those things, right? Meaning things which are not pikuach nefesh imminently, can you do them on Shabbos? D'oraisa, d'rabbanan, etc. So, another question, or really what the question starts for the poskim already in the 50s, is not going to a crime, but coming back. Right, coming back, you go to the crime, you're called, there's an attempt of murder, fine. But you've gone, you've apprehended the culprit, he's in handcuffs, he's in the back of your car, now what do you do? What? Hatzalah has the same problem. Maybe. Right? Maybe. Hatzalah might have a little bit of a different issue, might have a better heter, because, right, it is the similar issue, but there's a slight difference, practically. Because Hatzalah, right, normally, at least like I know where I grew up in Staten Island, Hatzalah is basically serving the frum community, which is on one part of Staten Island, let's say, and the hospital is on the other side. So if they come back and they get a call inevitably from where the rove of people are calling them from, right, they'll respond more quickly if they come back. Right? So you have a potential pikuach nefesh suara, because if at least in Staten Island, the hospital is all the way to the other side of the island. It's 10, 15 minutes away. Right? And obviously, that can be the difference of life and death, so you at least have a potential pikuach nefesh svara there. Here, we don't really have pikuach nefesh svara because, right, police, right, if they're taking an area, there's no particular reason for assuming that they'll be closer to the next crime if they go back to the base. Right? In fact, it's usually the opposite. Right? If they get a call in a dangerous area, it's more likely that the next call is going to be somewhere near that area, right? I mean, it could be that's where the police station is, but not necessarily, right? You know, and YU is in Washington Heights. There are a lot more police cars driving around on a regular basis in Washington Heights than there are in Nakid, where I live in, where my parents live in Staten Island, in a nice residential area, right? The Heights is a little bit different, right? It's not, right? So if there's a police car in the Heights, he might as well stay. It's more likely he's going to be called there than, let's say, to 76th, or, whatever, 76th and Broadway, the Upper West Side. Okay, so one set of issues is going to deal with pikuach nefesh, and then the questions of non-pikuach nefesh component. What other questions would you ask? These are, by the way, most questions come here, but there's actually a lot more questions. Yeah?
Right.
Right, riots, things like that, right? Middle cases, which might lead to Pikuach Nefesh, might end up as Pikuach Nefesh, but aren't immediately. But I'm going to throw out some other questions, okay? Question we haven't asked, but it's a pretty basic question. This all assumes, all these questions assume that the frum Jew who's asking the shaila is already a police officer and he got a call on Shabbos. But there are a lot of steps that had to get there. Namely, the frum person had to decide to become a police officer. Before we even get to the point of asking a shaila, we have to ask a prior shaila, which is, why or should a frum person get himself into that situation, yes or no?
If you're living in Israel and everybody is assuming it's Jewish,
and perhaps there's no difference, right? And perhaps you would, and we'll see that some of the poskim are going to reject what I just said. And good, some of the poskim.
Depending on a society that's relying on non-from people, you can't do that.
Exactly, and we're going to see. And this, what I just said, I was setting up. Not really a straw man. I was setting up a Herzog. What you're saying now is Rochelle Yisraeli, right? He says exactly that. But that's going to be another question. Is can you even make a shikul? Can you ask that question? Should a frum person be entering? Or does that assume that there's a difference between frum and not frum people, which is already not a good assumption? There's another type of person who might be in the police force, which is?
Druze.
Right, Druze, a non-Jew. Right? Another question which has to be asked is, okay, so maybe you can't make a distinction between from Jews and not from Jews, but what about relying on non-Jews? Is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? Right? Yes? No? Right? So these are all questions the poskim grappled with from the 50s, which is when the first round of things were written, and then 2016, which, as they note in Hakdamah Tamina Mishtara, is the next time that anyone really writes about this systematically. There's a bunch of articles written in the 50s, a few articles here and there over the last few decades, and then they said when police officers started actually entering in greater numbers, there was basically no literature. There's other questions that come up. So, for example, if someone's actually in, and we've dealt with all the Pikuach Nefesh issues, so that deals with malacha, but are there other questions that might arise in Shabbos besides for malachos and yisurim? Yeah, there are mitzvos, right? How do you deal with the fact that even if you can solve all the halachic problems, right? How do you deal with the halachic / emotional psychological issue that a frum person may just not want to be in a situation where even if he can matir all the halachic problems vis-a-vis malacha, he doesn't really want to be in a situation where he can't celebrate Shabbos? Right? How do you deal with that halachic issue or that psychological issue? So these were all issues that faced the poskim, and we're going to try to take some of them up, and we'll see that not only are these issues going to touch on the local issue, but as we've already seen a little bit, it's going to touch on much greater issues, which is, how do we approach the frum, right, the role of a frum person in the functioning of the state, the functioning of non-Jews in the state, right? Do we recognize the reality that even if we want, non-frum Jews to be Shomer Shabbos, do we take into account the fact that that's not yet the reality? Do we paskin for the reality or do we paskin for the ideal? Right, these are all part of the calculation the poskim dealt with. So if we look here at the Gemara, so like I said, the first question that basically all the poskim deal with and finish in about 5 sentences, I didn't even put here, which is, you're called. And you know that call is Pikuach Nefesh, you pick up the phone, I don't know how you know, right? Whatever it is, it automatically picks up, let's make it easy, whatever, right? And the guy says, I'm being chased by someone who's trying to kill me, you get in the car, you drive, you save the person, no question, right? That's straight Pikuach Nefesh. But the first question that they really were asked is, okay, but what about coming back to base? So this starts with the Gemara in Erevin Mem Dalet Amud Beis Mem Hey Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says as follows: Mishi Yatzer Bishus. If someone goes out of the tchum with permission, it's beheter, is going to save someone. Rama Lok Farnasa Ma'isa Yesh Alpay Mamal Kol Ruach. And then he goes, and as he's walking, someone tells him, "There's no need to continue your trip. It's over." You were going, it was mutter, you were going to save a life, you're going to save this town which was being invaded, whatever the case may be, it's done. So at that point he has 2,000 amos that he can walk, we'll call ruach, we don't make him freeze, even if he's now left the tchum, but obviously he can now continue to where he's going. So if he's still within the tchum, so as if he never left, he can just go home. But if he went out to actually save a life, not only do we allow him 2,000 amos, let him go home. So the Gemara says, does that imply more than 2,000 amos. V'amar reish alpayim amos v'sulo. But you said that it's only 2,000 amos. So amar v'yudam arav shechozim b'chlei zayin l'mkomon. What it means is that they can go back, the extent they can go back, even carrying their weapons. K'detanya. As they said, in the Brisa, Barishon originally, Ayomanichin Klei Zayin, Bevaita Samachochom. Originally, what would happen is when people would go out to save a neighboring town, so they would go with their weapons, obviously, but when they got back to the city, so they would carry their weapons back with them, but then they would all store them at the house next to the border of the city. Pamachas, Ekiru ben Oivin, Radu Achareim, Venichna Lito Klei Zayin, Venichna Zu Oivim Achareim. But then what happened? One time, they did this, and the enemies realized what happened, so they chased after them and tried to go into the house with the weapons, right? So that's a great situation, right? You have your enemies chasing after you, you don't have your weapons anymore, and now you're racing to be the first people to get back to the, right, to the storage room. Now this is a very dangerous situation. In Israel, this is, right, they have ways of dealing with this, right? Each yeshuv, right, Alon Shvut, they have a storage room with hundreds of guns in case of an emergency. But of course, the biggest fear is that someone, right, who wants to harm won't bring in a weapon but will break in to the storage room with all the guns. So what do? You wire their place with bombs, right? Because if someone tries to break in, right, and you realize that it's a terrorist trying to break in, you blow the place up, right? Because then they can't use it, right? They didn't have that option in the time of the Gemara. So this was obviously a bad situation. So dachu zedzed, they're pushing everybody. V'hargu zedzed, yosem hajar goyvim. And in the fear that the enemies were going to come in and get their weapons, or that they weren't going to be able to get their weapons in time, they pushed each other so much they ended up killing more people than the enemies had killed. So Chazal said, forget it. You're allowed to go back home even with your weapons. And then the Gemara suggests, you know what, maybe there's a difference. It depends, right? We're going to be more lenient in a case where the Jews have won, the war is over, right, than a case where they lost, right? If they lost, obviously you need to have more precautions, but if you had a decisive victory, so then we can have more chumras, not necessarily go back all the way, etc. The Gemara introduces several other qualifications, which is a very long Gemara, so I just give you the Rambam summary in two. Goyim tsesaral ayaris yisrael umbolis ki mamon en mechal alein es ha-shabas ven osa oima en melchama. If non-Jews come and they are fighting a Jewish city, if they're coming just for money, so you can't be mechal shabas. V'iras mukhlisvar, but if it's a city on the border, right, the border of Israel, if you lobo tevin v'kash, yotzen ol v'chleizayin v'chal v'nazar Shabbos. So automatically it's pikoach nefesh, because if they infiltrate the border, that endangers the whole country. So even if they're just coming because they want money, they want straw, which, big deal, they want straw. But if you allow them in, they'll have penetrated the border. So, and I think we might have discussed this, I made allusion to this last week, this was the beginning of the Peloponnesian Wars. I think we mentioned this, right? That historically, right, this is how things happen, right? Sparta would surround Athens and would slowly burn down the food granaries all the way at the edge beyond the borders, right, beyond the borders of the city, but that's already the beginning of danger. But obviously they're coming to kill. And if they're coming to kill you, or you don't know why they're coming, so obviously go out, arm as a Shabbos. You're Mechal Shabbos. And this is how we paskin. Parenthetically, who did not paskin this way, as far as we can tell? People early in the Chashmonai period. Right, this is recorded in the Book of Maccabees, right? That there were people who give up their lives. They thought you couldn't be Mechal Shabbos for war. Many people ended up dying because of this. Right, so there were sects who actually did not paskin this way, but this is how Chazal paskin. Umitzvah kol Yisrael shilchon lavo latzeis lazer lachem shematzar latzil miyad goyim b'Shabbos, and it's a mitzvah for Jews to go out and save their brothers even on Shabbos. V'asur lan lit mameil motzoi Shabbos, and you aren't allowed to wait and hesitate until after Shabbos. And when they save their brothers, and when they go out, they're allowed to come home, all the way home, even with their weapons. And now the Rambam adds a reason. Why do we allow these people who went out to fight to go all the way home, even though they don't really need to, they could just stay there? What does that mean? Because we're worried that if we tell them every time you go fight, you can't come home, or you have to leave your weapons, they're not going to come. And that would be, well, what would that be? Yeah, that'd be bad. That for sure would be bad. But halachically, what would that be? Well, it would be pikuach nefesh, theoretically, in the future. It's a little bit interesting because now we're talking about what, in modern parlance, would be called, right, cholashein lefaneinu, right, a future pikuach nefesh, but the Gemara assumes, but Rambam assumes that's the reason. Where did he get this logic that we're allowed to permit chil Shabbos, which essentially chil Shabbos, because of future concerns of chil Shabbos, right? Obviously, it's not now, pikuach nefesh, but we're worried that people won't commit themselves to the task in the future. So he gets that from a different Mishnah, number three. So Bein Shinir Ba'alil, from the context of Kiddush HaChodesh, right, the witnesses who go out to testify about the new moon. So the Mishnah says that Bein Shinir Ba'alil, Bein Shalom Nir Ba'alil, Mechal Alav Ezer Shabbos, whether the moon is clear, and you can assume that other witnesses saw it or not, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, to go to Bez Din, to tell them I saw the moon, and let's be Mechadesh the Chodesh. Rabbi Yosi Omer, in Nir Ba'alil, in Mechal Alav Ezer Shabbos. No, if it's clear in the sky, and you know, right, you're outside the Tchum, but you know there's somebody in the Tchum. There's somebody who's there, right, in Yerushalayim, he can just go to the Bez Din, and be Mekadosh. It's so clear. It's not a cloudy night. It's not like you saw it peeking through the cloud, and you're the only person who saw it, right? It was there for 3 minutes, right? You were out there looking. You heard there was going to be a lunar eclipse. You were out there looking, and you saw the moon, right, in between clouds. No, it's a clear night. The moon is right there, even in that case. So the Tanakhama says, no problem. Ryosi says, no, in that case, so let the people in Yerushalayim, presumably someone else is outside, they'll see the moon, you don't have to be Mechal Shabbos. Masa Shabbos Yosef Rabbi Mezug V'ikvan Rabbi Kiva Balud. But once Rabbi Kiva, based on the position of Rabbi Yosi, saw 40 sets of witnesses coming, and he stopped them in Lud. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel, and Ma'akev Atas HaRabim, Nimtzen Machshin Lassad Lavo. If you stop them now, they won't come in the future, and therefore let them all come, even though there's no reason now, because one of them is sufficient. Machshil and Lassad Lava, we're worried, we take into account what's going to happen, and since you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of coming to be Mekadosh the Chodesh, we allow all of them to be Mechal Shabbos, lest the time come in the future when they wouldn't come. So the Rambam borrows this svara and says that's the same thing that's happening in the case in the Gemara in Erevin. So with this background, the first person to get this shaila of how do police officers function on Shabbos was Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog was, Mizrachi Halevi Herzog, was the first chief rabbi of the state, the second chief rabbi, the second Ashkenazi chief rabbi of the mandate. Right? They had, he spanned both. He was mandate and state of Israel, right? Once there was a state, the first chief rabbi in mandate in Ashkenaz was Rav Kook. First Sephardi, I don't even know. It's an institution that goes back hundreds of years from the Chacham Bashi. So it depends where you start counting, right? Richard Chiner and I had a reason to look it up today. So Ashkenazim, we start in the 20th century, right? Svardim start in the 16th century, right? So, or something like that, right? We're talking a long time, however you want to count it, fine. So he was the first person who was asked. And as we already saw last week, his goal in life was to figure out how the state should function al pi halacha. That is what was collected collected from his writings and turned into a cassette called Chuka al pi Torah. It's 8 volumes, edited by Itamar Rohafdik. So he was first asked this shaila. It was posed to him. It was posed to Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was a member of the chief rabbi's council, a member of the Bez Din, Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz HaRav, who was posed to the Tzitz Eliezer, posed to several of the Gedolim in the 50s. So, number four. First, he describes the question, right? So we focused on one, but we'll see. He got the whole gamut of the question. He said, "Amatzavi bitachona pnimi ba'aret nitzaru al yidei ishiot musmachot ha'pratim." I was given the following details to deal with. Aleph. First of all, ma'aseh pesha b'cholam ha'chamurim, kigon hitpartziyot v'shod mitrabim be'eretz miyuda rabba, gam mikrei haretzach rabu b'ofen mafil. First of all, there's a lot of crime in Israel, and murder, the amount of murder is, right, mafil, right? It's astonishing, it's overwhelming, right? That's point one, right? Fact on the ground, there's a lot of crime. Two, Komitzei HaPesha Mizuyanim U'mishtamshim B'ziyunam B'chol Mekre Shel Hafra'ah. People are armed. So these aren't, right, this isn't a teenager sneaking into a makolet and stealing a chocolate bar. These are holdups. Right? Everybody is armed. Right? This is the chaos post the War of Independence. Everyone has weapons. Right? Our enemies have weapons. We have weapons. Everyone has weapons. Crime is armed crime. Three, kol miri vakala alula lilakach al shvichut damim v'arigah mamash. The smallest fight leads to murder, right? This is the Wild West, right? You insult somebody, they pull out a gun, have a duel, right? He's describing the situation in the 50s, right? It's not a pretty situation. The situation in Israel in the 50s was very different than what we know now, right? It was, when I go to visit my cousins, they live in Cholon. So my mother's Israeli. My grandparents came to Israel in 45, right, from the 47, from the DP camps. My grandfather fought in Mechamed Atzmaut in 48, and they lived in Cholon. So my mother described what it was like, you know, when she was growing up in Israel before she moved to the States. Right, people were poor beyond belief. She said, when you wanted a treat, right, treat was chickpeas. Right, in a piece of paper, right, because you couldn't really afford food, right? This is dirt poor. You go to Cholon now, right? It's a suburb of Tel Aviv. It's right, and her cousins have stayed there. They've been there since, right? Whatever third generation are now in Cholon. Right? The situation is very different, right? It was emerging country. Now it's a first world country, which, as they say in Israel, first world country that likes pretending that it's third world. But right, fundamentally a first world country. Four, Yom HaShabbat, Hu Marbit HaTzar HaYom Hachi Mesugal LeMikravim Matzivim MiMineila Hayot VaTzibur Panoi MeAvodah VuGam LeFamim Mitpasem MiMei Shabbat VeChag. Said the worst day for crime, Shabbos and Yontif. Two reasons: one, people aren't at work; two, they drink. Right. So Shabbos and Yontif are particularly bad. Five. Hit arvut mehira shel mishtara monan arbei shvichut damim mikrei retzach ulashitad anayadot chilek rav bazet. Police involvement prevents a lot of loss of life, and the cars that are right just driving around, right, anayadot, right, the moving cars, the police cars, right, the fact they're going on patrol is part of what keeps Israel safe. Im kabalat yidiyah telefonit al yizeshu mikre. As soon as they get a phone call, hanayedit koletet miyad v'hi atza lemakom ha-maaseh. As soon as they get the call, they run. Mishum kach gam ha-shimush b'telefon chashuv ma'od l'shem yitgabrut al psha'im. So using the phone and answering that call is clearly important. Vav yish erech rav b'shmil ha'ama dan anashim l'mishpat v'yunam barichat report v'kabalat tviyad etzvaot miyad. It's very important to take a report and tviyat etzvaot, right, fingerprints, so that you can judge cases. Right, the courts need to have this inspiration. And the extent to which you record the identity of criminals and you take them in will affect the future crime. And he said, and even things which aren't serious could lead to serious things, so the way you deal with even the smallest crimes is important for the future. And Zion, the seventh fact, and if we were to limit the number of patrols on Shabbos, so crime would go up. So the or call on null, in light of all this information, nichnasti levarer ketzal shomrei mishmeret bitachon hapnimi ba'aretz lidnaheg bitzara halacha. So now I have to deal with the question, what should from police officers do on Shabbos? Ulam mechevan shekvi matzav advarim kayom ein amosdor amunim alkach notim lefi shah lehitchashev imrod halacha. But you should know that right now the police forces don't really care what halacha says. So I'm not yet in the situation, though he would repeatedly bemoan this fact, to paskin for the entire police force. For the most part, what I'm saying now is not halacha l'maisa, because they're not listening. So this is a theoretical discussion, which, please God, will eventually be fleshed out in detail. When the police officers will actually care what halacha says, so then there'll be an impetus to flesh out the details of the halachic question. Okay, so now we're not going to read the rest of his tshuva as carefully. We're going to go through it, but we're going to skim through it. So we'll take question by question. So some of them are obviously. So first, shimush betelefon is yamachanonim ekreshel rib. First question, using a telephone and driving to a crime. So he says that Zeb Barur Shasur Makom Shin Sakanot Nefashot. If there was no Sakanot Nefashot, so then I would say it's Asur Ulam. Musak Sakanot Nefashot, Mizrachem, Mikreshalanu. But here we have an expansive notion of Pikoch Nefesh, Vava Ersi Chati. Kdalpi Arachara Matsav Shikibano Yotse, Shiriv Ritsini, Venashem Aluli Stayim, Nefashot, Imlot Dereva Mishtara, Vimukdamba, Vdot Yedu Lakal. It said even minor crimes, we know, facts on the ground, they lead to Pikoch Nefesh. Vila Miri vote, Mitsuyo, Bioter Shabbat Moed. And they happen all the time on Shabbos. Umoed, and he notes that even Chazal were aware of this. Kederach Amru Chazal be'irvin samach alav tatrogi havei mimatrige lohu b'nei geder l'v'nei chamatanu Rebbe hitir hainu hitkin v'shabbat ma'ishna shabbat yishchich v'shichrut. Right, that Rebbe set up certain takanot because he knew that people were more drunk on Shabbos and committed more crimes. So this is not a new problem. It says alkein b'parutz riv kazem mutar la'azika l'mishtara yidei telefon l'no retzach u'meila mutar l'mishtara l'tapel b'kabalat hoda'a l'telefonit. So he said, first things first. When a call comes in, you're obviously allowed to go. Because any crime could lead to Pikoach Nefesh, you have to go. That's point one. That's pretty easy. If they call sometimes for things which aren't Sakanat Nefeshot, right, they call the fire department because their cat is up a tree, fine. Hare ain't bidam mishtaral adav zomei rosh. How are you supposed to know what they were going to call about? It's the problem of the person who called you. But first things first, it's obvious. When you don't know what that call is going to be about, it could be pikoach nefesh, you're allowed to go, you're allowed to pick up the phone, you're allowed to drive there, end of story. That's easy. And then obviously, once you say it's Pikoach Nefesh, you're allowed to travel as fast as possible. That's obvious, but what about coming back? So he says, maybe you'll tell me you should go back to base because maybe you'll find out about more crimes. That's easy. Just put a radio in the car. And then they'll respond from wherever they are. They don't have to go back to base to get the phone call. Set it up in the car. So you don't have to tell. So don't tell me that it's Pikoach Nefesh for that reason. And they'll tell you where to go. And maybe you'll say, and this is what I said to Pesach before I turn around to Mincha, right? Then maybe, like the Hatzalah calls, you'll say, no, they should come back to base because that'll speed up the process. He said, who said? Right, who said? Right, how often is it true that the next crime is going to be closer to base than where you happen to be? Right, you don't know that. Right, it could be the opposite. It could be the next crime is a block from here. So why should I go back there? For all you know, you're distancing yourself. And as long as you have the radio in the car, so that can't be a reason to say it's mutter to come back. So we have to do something else. So what does he say? Chazara mimekom hariv. Can you tell him to come back? So he said, Shitara ram mimchol yotzim latzio. So he quotes the Gemara, which I cut out for you because we've already seen it, and he says, I think that the reason it's mutter, why the Gemara said that it's mutter to come back, and we're allowed to take into account future concerns, depends on the question of hutcher dechuya. Is pikuach nevesh, does it wipe away the isser, or is it hanging in abeyance and it happens to be permitted? So he says, "Shezeh barush and yada into the chodesh hutra Shabbat mechivan shata matil chalas Shabbat af nire baalil mishum chash hachshalav d'lavova Rambam sover shagam pikoach nefesh b'Shabbat kach." He said, "It must be that the Rambam thinks that just like Shabbos was hutra by the case of kiddush hachodesh, he thinks pikoach nefesh is the same, and therefore he borrows the reason because he said if pikoach nefesh is understood as hutra, that it eliminates the issur, it can be understood expansively and allow you to come back if that's going to motivate you to continue fighting crime in the future." So the next paragraph, ulam ech sheyeh mishtarash yitel atzil sheyeh la'adayim kumamed, but I'm not sure it helps. So you tell me before I look at it, why is a police officer different than the case of the Gemara? Who is the person in the Gemara going out to save the next town? Yeah, civilian. An armed civilian. So an armed civilian, what are the chances he's going to go out if he knows he has to stay there, he has to leave his weapons, etc.? What about a police officer? Right? If you tell a police officer your job is to be undercover and sit in the car for 24 hours at this spot, he'll do it because that's his job. So if you tell him your job on job is to sit after you got a crime, to sit where you are, so what? To go back to base? Right? To go back to base? He can't go back to base. And now he's not going to be a police officer? It's unlikely. Right? Police officers sometimes, like going back to the heights, there were cars that sat there in front of YU for hours and hours. Presumably not for the YU component of the Heights. There was a very shady store across from the Heights, which for years went through different iterations of what exactly it was. For many years, it was a shoe store where routinely you could not buy shoes. I went into one of these stores once, and they informed me they only had... I asked for a pair of shoes. They told me they only had the left shoe in size 7. So you know that there's something going on. There was also a huge store at some point in the Heights which sold phone cards. It was massive, right? But only phone cards. That's what they sold. Right? So there are reasons that the police officers might just sit there for 10 hours in the Heights. So if you tell them to do that, right? So he says, look what he says. He says, Ulam, said, Hine, atamim shal brayton on now babli Yerushalmi, mitosef ten jeho lekan klau, ven lus moch el al dat rabbeinu agadol zal. Meo tam tam, shim lo titen lem chazar mechoni, levisizam atam ach sheilam latid lavo, ach, ena dem shavim. She elu, sheinem bayim el betokav mishar tamim mechachem, lelechet bashar yileichu, mashen ken sham, jubar min navim. Let's say Latzil. Here we're talking with people. This is their job, not volunteers. And two, Sham im ata machricha mazorbli neshek him too. Kol derech mechav dim shulo yelech mashen kan shein lehem mimalefachein. Sham nam yatu yudim larok zedzel. Well, in zemeh adome klali yotim li nachem nochrim yotim lashmini yudim. Said furthermore, the civilians are terrified because maybe they beat this group, but who knows? Maybe their cronies are coming, right, with backup. But the police officers, what are they afraid of? Right? If they neutralize this crime, I mean, their job is to fight crime. It's not like sitting there is any less safe than being back in base. Because next time there's a crime, they're going to have to fight it. That's their job. They're putting their life on the line all the time. Yeah?
How about volunteers that do patrols? You know?
Right, so we could wonder whether citizen patrols would fit. Right, citizen patrols maybe at least would have
volunteers.
Right, so then they would more tightly fit the Rambam's case. True, he's not dealing with it, but it's true. Right, that might more tightly fit the Rambam. Yeah.
But if a front police officer, after he goes and takes care of that crime, is allowed to go back to base where he has Shabbos food set up and a bed set up. Isn't that the same thing as the
one? So potentially, right? So we could, right, turn it, we could say perhaps it's different, right, depending on the situation on base. Now, if, of course, he's, you know, on, you know, call, so maybe not, right?
He's got to go back to his house, but in between.
Right, so, right, we'd have to figure out, right, the mitzvahs, right? If, right, presumably, if you had a police officer who was sort of on call, right, he's not on, you know, he's on base, but he's, you know, keep your phone on or keep your... So then presumably, yes, it would be more similar. But realistically, he's saying most situations, you have a 12-hour shift, you have whatever, 8-hour shift, 12-hour shift, you're not going home, and you're not really sitting down for a Shabbos meal either. Again, if that was the situation, presumably it would be a more tight fit. But he's saying realistically, he doesn't think that is the situation. Yeah?
What about a safety issue in terms of other criminals knowing the way that the police operate? So they could set up, you know, a simple crime that would draw a police officer there.
Right, so one would have to take that into account. Again, that would assume there's one car, right? But obviously, if there are 10 cars, right, that's neutralized. And again,
but they can also sit there and dangerously, right? Meaning that they can wait.
Correct.
A couple hours.
Correct. Right, so, but maybe the answer is to drive a few blocks, right? You know, and not all the way back, right? To go out, right? I mean, we can come up with all types of terutzim in the middle, right? That maybe, okay, so go move right to the border of the dangerous neighborhood, right, where they won't know, and you won't necessarily know where they're going, right? We could come up with terutzim. So we, right, yeah.
Yeah, not to get too from, not to get too topic, but speaking about the auxiliary volunteer police work, how does this drive with, for example, what Hatzalah does, right? Hatzalah, we know Koach Nefesh, but it's also volunteer at the same time.
Right, so in Hatzalah, the poskim really are much more makil, right?
Also Hatzalah can is different from Hatzalah Okay, so it sounds from Hatzalah in New York.
Right, so getting in all the details, I'm not going to... Right, we won't have time. Presumably, yes. Hatzalah the Post can really do take this Gemara and say, look, you can probably go home because you're going to be closer to the community and Kedei Shalalach Shein Lasad Lavo. It's a combination, right? Yes, right? They do say that. Police are obviously different than that, and maybe volunteer police are more similar to that, but paid police, right, depending on the situation, is a little bit different. So then he says, so based on this, Psaki thinks, look, I think it's, next paragraph, I'll just summarize outside, right? He said, I think you're allowed, obviously, to go, but coming back, he doesn't think that you should come back, so stay there. Okay, so the next page, he says, right, so next page, he says, okay, what about cars? Right, so he says, what I was told, I'll summarize a little bit. He says, I was told that patrols helps protect, even when there isn't a crime, but that patrols is important. So he says, that might be true, but he said, there, I'm not as convinced that you're allowed to use a car. Because if you look around, right, in New York, this is true, right? Not all police officers are in cars, right? Some of them are walking, right? Some of them are still on horseback, or bikes. Right, especially in New York traffic, you might actually get there quicker. Right, so there are police in all types. Right, on bikes and car and horses, by foot and cars, etc. So, to get to a crime, I'd say get in the car and go as fast as possible. But for stomp patrols, I would suggest looking into the possibility of walking around the dangerous neighborhoods or going on a bike. Because why violate a daraisa when the patrol could be done just as easily? Okay, then you can say, well, I mean, you have to obviously look into the pratim, right? If it's true, the person is more exposed when he's on the bikes, maybe not, right? Which I don't know. I don't know if that's the situation. It probably is in certain circumstances and probably isn't in other ones where simply the police officer will being there will be enough to keep crime down. And the next paragraph, another question, what happens once you know that the criminal has already been caught? Says also, once you find out they've been caught and now your job is to arrest the person and put him behind bars, he says, then it's not pikuach nefesh, that he thinks doesn't knock away Shabbos. El sheish kan chichuv acher. Vehush im al smach zed lo natil nishtar lintol chapeset osa avel ki yatzer avin agnevot dafka b'yom shavet kodesh. He said, if based on this you wouldn't allow people to go investigate, right, the crime's already done, then there'll just be more robberies on Shabbos. Kvar hus gash gnevot b'yamim elun. We already said that there's more crimes on it. V'sov yesh kam shumat zol nefeshot. So there is some sort of hatzalat nefeshot, so it's mutter. But if it's just about to investigate, right, to create a disincentive for people to commit crimes, again, you don't need to drive there, so go by bike, go by foot. Okay, in the next paragraph, he gets to the heart of the problem here. And he says, look, so far he's basically said, it's obviously mutter to go. Patrols, he thinks you should limit it to derabbanans, because it's not direct, pikuach nefesh. But he says, one of the real problems here is that, and what we've danced around, is that pikuach nefesh here seems to be fundamentally different than a classic case of pikuach nefesh. Because what's even the language we're talking about? Pikuach nefesh, because there might be more crimes in the future. That's not how we talk about pikuach nefesh. Right? We don't say that a doctor can always, right, who's not on call, should leave his phone on every Shabbos in case someone happens to need to call him. Right? We assume that there are people on call, and not every doctor needs to always be on call, because maybe someone might call them, so why not? Right? What are we dancing around? And he says, we're dancing around the fact that in a tzibur, right, in a nation, pikuach nefesh takes on a different meaning. But what meaning does it take on? He says, next paragraph, he said, we've seen that at least in the case of a nation, future pikuach nefesh is enough to permit. But it's still not equivalent to normal cases. It's not obviously pikuach nefesh because maybe the thief isn't a murderer. Right? Some thieves, as soon as they know somebody's there, they run away. He says, "Hoil v'kol atir ukan mipnei sheim lo natir tiravena gnevot." And since we're concerned that maybe in the future there will be crimes, it's the second reason I'm not sure how to paskin, or I'm not going to paskin, is because A, I have a suffix. B, no one's listening to me anyways. Not from people are going to be police officers, are going to work on Shabbos with or without me. So therefore, if I were to tell you, don't go out on Shabbos and be a police officer, b'mitzius, is that going to cause a case of pikuach nefesh? No, because the 90% of the rest of the police force will deal with it. Right? No one's going to not commit a crime because the former police officer isn't going to show up. So he says, A, I'm not sure how to define pikuach nefesh, and B, realistically, me not paskin isn't going to cause pikuach nefesh. So if I'm paskin with the situation at hand, how can I be matur and call it pikuach nefesh? He said there must be some limit. I don't know what it is. So you know what? I'm not willing to flesh this out till the end and say on the basis that I don't let people drive to a possible crime or to go to investigate and the like, that that's a chash of a future pikuach nefesh, because A, we're defining pikuach nefesh differently, I don't even know how to define it, and B, realistically, that's not the reality we're dealing with. There are police officers who will deal with it whether or not I say it's mutter. So then the last paragraph, sikuma darim, so then he says, how do I summarize? So we'll just go through it, I'll skim through it. He says, going in a car to the crime, mutter. But that's only going there. Coming back, you have to wait there till after Shabbos. Patrols, try to use dirabanans. You can't use a car. If you want to, maybe use Shnaim Shasua. I didn't get into that. It's a little bit more complicated. Putting someone in prison on Shabbos, I skipped, but he says it's mutter. But if you captured him far away from the prison, so don't bother bringing him back. Wait till after Shabbos. You're allowed to use the telephone for pikuach nefesh. And then he says, and if you need to take a report that is necessary, so try to do it left-handed, not in Hebrew, or not in Ashurit at least, make it a derabanan, because that's not real pikuach nefesh, and that's his psak. Okay, yeah.
He, in the beginning, said that this is just for discussion, because the law in Israel is obviously not together for life. Right?
Yes.
But if you're a police officer who's now sitting in the police office and you are on duty, he's not telling us what to do either.
So he's telling you some things. He's telling you, if it's actual pikuach nefesh, go out. If it's not pikuach nefesh, stay. But then he says,
possibly,
right? He's putting out a rough psak. But yeah, he's admitting that it's not the psak that's going to be b'mitzia. So he's setting out some guidelines, but he's saying, look, I'm not sure what I can permit. Right now, it may be that it would be okay for from officers to say, look, I'll go to the crime, but I'll stay there. It could be that that is a psak that would work, right? Just like, it might work in, America, or Canada. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. So he's giving a partial psak, but not a full one. Okay. So now in addition to his psak, and now we'll move faster through it, once he's set it up. So in addition to his technical psak, there's a few issues that have come up here that are much more fundamental. So one of them is this line, right? I'm not paskining. I'm not going to flesh it out because this is not the reality. Most people don't care about halacha. What does that assume about the role of a religious Zionist posek in Israel? Who, at this point in his tshuva, does he imagine his audience to be? From Jews. Right, from Jews. And he assumes that he's allowed, therefore, to take into account the mitzius bashetach, the reality. There are people who care about halacha and people who don't. But that's not an obvious assumption at all. And one might say that his whole psak is wrong because it's assuming that he's allowed to paskin based on the reality there are people who don't care about halacha, but maybe that's not the job of a posek. So that's a halachic claim. There's also another claim, an ideological claim, which is he might be, by doing this, throwing in the towel and saying that halacha can't deal with the modern state of Israel. Right, because I don't know how to paskin. He's saying I'm not really sure how I would paskin if this was real. It's not a big deal because it isn't real, and I'm okay saying that I don't really know how to paskin if we were in a state which kept halacha. But maybe that's a problem too, right? Maybe you're not allowed to throw into the towel. Maybe you have to paskin to the ideal. So if you look at Rabbi Israeli in 5, so first he adds a halachic argument. He says, first of all, I have a different formulation of why the Rambam is right. I'll just say, look at his first line. Right? I think Shema Machshirin Lasad Lava is what we call Machshirin. Right? It's a preparation for a Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, that's his halachic argument. The next paragraph. He says, "Kol zeh danino al pi akavim shedivinu bekondrusim anal." Ulam nira li sheish lachnis kan od nimuk hilchati aroi lishamish snif im lo yesud chashuv kshilatzmo. So now he adds another fundamental argument, and he says, "You know what? Rav Herzog treated this as if it was just a case of any old pikuach nefesh, but it might not be, because as we noted, this is pikuach nefesh in the situation of a nation." Pikuach nefesh in the situation of a nation might be different for two reasons. Right? Give me two reasons why pikuach nefesh of a state might be different than the normal type of halachic discourse that we find in pikuach nefesh. One practical and one fundamental. Practically, why is pikuach nefesh differently when you're posking for a nation? What? Without Jews and non-Jews. A very practical issue. What?
It's constant.
Yeah, right. It's right. Statistically, right. Things are always happening. So, what in a normal case might be 1 in 1,000, when you're dealing with 10,000 people, is 10 vada case of pikuach nefesh. So, one is a pure statistical issue. The second possibility is much more fundamental, which is the poskim suggest that maybe quality of life in the context of pikuach nefesh, in the context of a tzibur, is called pikuach nefesh, even though it wouldn't be for a yachid. So Yisraeli now, first of all, pushes back on some of the limitations and says, you know what, Rav Herzog treated this as a normal case of pikuach nefesh, but I don't think it's true. So you skip down like four lines in the paragraph to after the ellipsis, like fourth ellipsis. He says, Alkei nirash yisodet varim hu, shekol ma shenogeh l'shlom ha-tzibur ain o siluk nezek m'menu akol nechshav pikuach nefesh, ki kol ma shekaruch b'shlom ha-tzibur yesh bo akifin l'inyan im pikuach nefesh. Said, all cases statistically will lead to pikuach nefesh and tzibur. So I think that the hesitations of Rav Herzog are incorrect. I think we have to expand what we define as pikuach nefesh, and therefore we have to be more makil. So that's just his first fundamental point. The next paragraph, he quotes Rav Herzog's hesitance to paskin. He says, right, sheinit, hol kol heter hu kan b'pnei she'im lo natir. This is the last paragraph on the page. Shlo lo natir tirivena gnevot. Hinei arov agadol mitzareinu lo mitchashvim im haraot shol rabanut v'heim harei memele lo yimineu v'im ken lo yishamesh ha'isur l'ribui gnevot v'eich navo latir mishum chash zesh tirivena b'gnevot. So he says, most people don't keep halachas. Rav Herzog said, I don't need a paskin. Lefi anu dati cheshvon ze ein lo makom balacha. That calculus has no room in halacha. Shim kein hayab is maneinu tzarech lishtanot. Gam mikaradin shal eter lehizurim neshek. So lachzurim neshek. So if that was the case, throw out the whole sugya of that you're allowed to come back with your weapons. Right? Gam kein mishum shenipsein machshilin latin lavo. Kein an sharbei mitzibor v'lam gam arov mitzuyim eitzal neshek. Ein makbidim. Why? Because they're not from Jews, so we'll go and deal with it. What, you're going to throw out the whole halacha because realistically there are people who don't care about Shabbos and you don't need a paskin? Right, next line he says, Cheshbon zein eino mikama tamim is not true. One, gam parkei olanim yotzim b'chal Yisrael. He said, they're Jews. Right, I don't care. V'anu mitzuvim gam ladun aleihem. They're Jews and I'm supposed to paskin for them whether they care or not. Adim gam aleihem nikba. V'av opi shemuchanim lecho basar chazir. They may want to eat pig. Hinei tachin shenzel basar tleh. Maybe it's because they think it's mutter. Right, they're omer mutter. Like the, right, they're tinok shenishba. Al kena diyun hu alam kulo im davar ze mukhrach she yaseh al yedei mishu alo. Said two, harbegu l'prigat ol rak mitoch zesh yun yirat lehem shenish efsharut liyashev et haTorah im tzarchei medina. He said so many people became not from specifically because they thought halacha couldn't exist in a modern state, and you're going to prove their point by relying on Jewish Shabbos going in? Rak hodot leif darudo shtam shudim yudi Shabbos goy. You're admitting that you need to use a Jewish Shabbos goy. Yichola yaduda dati lachzik mamad. I nimtzal sheyedei shetikbal lacha meafsher miluy atzrachim atchuvim medina al pi adin yigroma davar lechazuktam shel eila sheyadud rafuyal tluya. You will strengthen their Judaism. Haranu mitzalino tam mikum sholim gedolim lekol chayem. Right, we might save them for the rest of their lives. Right, so he says, Right, fundamental point. What's the job of a posek? I'm not just... First he argues, I think you're being too myopic in terms of defining pikuach nefesh. But then he says a much more fundamental point. He says, who are you to pasken only for from Jews? That's not your job as a posek. Definitely not the Rav HaRashi Yisrael. He said, A, that's not your job. You pasken for everyone. B, one of the fundamental critiques of secular Zionism was halacha doesn't know how to deal with a modern state, so let's be a secular democratic state. You're going to prove that? The job of religious Zionist poskim are to show how that's not true. So give me a psak. Don't tell me you don't have to flesh it out. Flesh it out and show that it can work. I don't care if no one's going to listen to you. That's not your job. Your job is to show that it could work, and maybe if you show it could work, maybe it will work. He said, furthermore, how do I know how many people have to be in the police force? So what? Some are from, some not, etc. And then he makes an important point in the middle. And he says, furthermore, I have one more reason. I'll say it outside. He has one or two more reasons, but I'll combine them, why he thinks you need a poskin. And this is what Ellie was mentioning before. Right? People complain about the ethical quality of the police force. There's police brutality. She says, that's very nice. But who are you to complain if the frum people don't go into the police force? If you think that Torah has something to say and people who believe in Torah have something to add to the ethical discourse in the police force, then don't tell me you can't go into the police force and we'll leave it to not from Jews. Don't complain. And then he adds, he says, besides, it's a mitzvah midaraita to set up shotrim. So if it's a mitzvah to set up a police force, and you think the police force currently doesn't function right, and you think you have something to add, then don't cop out and say, I don't need a poskin for the from Jews and police, because they're not there anyways. Make it possible for them to be there, and maybe you'll be able to change the quality of the police force and the quality of the state. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that your job as a religious Zionist posek who believes in the state? So for three fundamental reasons, he rejects the entire methodology of Herzog and says, and here we come to the core of what it means to be a religious Zionist posek. He says, I don't just reject you because narrow pikuach nefesh issues is, I reject you because you're not poskening for the whole nation, you're not poskening for the ideal, you're entrenching the notion that halacha can't deal with modernity, which is why people have gone off the derech. Said, and besides, you're shirking the responsibility of someone who's shomer Torah mitzvahs who believes that minui shotrim is a mitzvah. So for all those reasons, paskin for the ideal and don't suffice with the real. Right? Paskin for utopia. Right? So here, not only do you have a machloket in the local parameters of police force on Shabbat, you have a machlokas of what does it mean to even be a religious Zionist posek? How do you approach shailas that may or may not be relevant? And if you look at, skip just for a second to 7, the Tzitzeliezer, who was sort of an in-between figure, he was part of the Haredi world, but he was Zionist or Hilchot Medina. Right, he also takes this position. Right, he's someone who's somewhat entrenched in the Haredi world. He also says, "Eich navo v'nismoch hamash yudim achirim yasu beisur v'atuk al rishay nikum v'nismoch." What, we're going to rely on rishayim? Amash v'fkeira nichal ifrok ol shabbat me'alehem. What, because they don't care about halacha? We can't do it. We have to paskin towards the ideal. So it's not just Rav Yisraeli, who was like a paradigmatic, stereotypical religious Zionist posek. It's also the Tzitzeliezer, who's partially entrenched in the Haredi world. He says the same thing. Because you don't need to be a religious Zionist to say that. You might just be a posek who recognizes the value of statehood or the value of community or nationhood. Okay. In 8, I'm going to have to, I think at this point, save questions to the end and try to get through it. So in 8, Rav Yaakov Ariel, as we noted, I noted this before, but I didn't say it was Rav Yaakov Ariel's analysis. But Rav Yaakov Ariel sets out the two, I won't read it inside, I'll say it outside. Right? He sets out, furthering the Israeli's claim, right now back to the Pikuach Nefesh case, that we view Pikuach Nefesh differently in the case of a state than we do. And he noted, there's two ways, as we said, either the statistical model or the fundamental model that quality of life effect is for a tzibur is considered Pikuach Nefesh, even if it won't actually lead to loss of life. Rav Yaakov Ariel is the current Rav of Ramat Gan. He's a current leading religious Zionist posek. He's the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Ramat Gan and the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan. So he's from the Merkaz world. So he's a leading Chardal posek. So he says, what's enough? What's enough, Gamino? What's a practical way that I can show you, that I can show you how extreme I'm going to take this? The Pikuach Nefesh for a Tzibur is different. He said the following case. You get a call. Your police officer, you get a call. Someone's having a party next door to me, 2 o'clock in the morning. Right, this happened all the time nights. Right, music started midnight. This was the rule. Midnight to about 7 in the morning, then everyone went to sleep. Okay? Once Rabbi Rapp, who's one of the one of the Rebbeim in YU, just because he wanted to take a little bit of revenge. So after they all go to sleep about 7 in the morning, right? So he at 7 in the morning he went out with his this was a while ago, like his boombox, and he put Yeshiva Boys Choir Rachis Chachma, that really shrieky voice, and blasted it 7 o'clock in the morning, middle of the heights, right, to show them what it was like to have that music blasting when they want to sleep. So he said, are you allowed to answer that call, right? It's probably not going to be Pikuach Nefesh. And Yehuda Rav Ariel says, yes. He says, why? One of two reasons. Either, if you say that quality of life is Pikuach Nefesh when it comes to Tzibur, so this is quality of life for everyone in the area, and it's mutter even without an actual Kshash Pikuach Nefeshos. At least that seems to be the implication. But he says, you know what, forget that. Even the statistical model, which is the one he ends up settling on, because that's really what Rav Yisraeli said, he said, you know what? It's true. For an individual, if he doesn't have a good night's sleep, it's not going to be Pikuach Nefesh. But thousands of people, that's not true. There are people who need their sleep, or they'll get into a car accident, right? Or, right, they're sick. And if they don't get sleep night after night, they won't get better, and they'll die. And for one person, that's a far-off concern. For 10,000 people, that's not so far off that one person's life might actually be affected. She said, whichever model you take, I think it's even mutter on Shabbos to go to stop a party and let people sleep. Because when you're coming to a tzibur, Pikuach Nefesh looks different. And ad kedei kach, I tell you, quiet that party even with no chash of direct Pikuach Nefesh in the yachid sense, but in a tzibur sense, there is such a notion. Rav Gorin in 9 takes an even more expansive position. He says, you know what? I have another reason. Not just is Pikuach Nefesh different when we're dealing with a tzibur for one of the two reasons we said. Hilchot Medina doesn't look like individual halacha at all. It's not a local concern of Pikuach Nefesh. This points to a bigger notion that halacha works differently in a nation. It says, Ulam Kashem Medubar, this is 9, Yehudit Atzmait, Shem Menchel Yisrael Achrayit, L'tichnun Amarach HaRefui B'dinya, L'chol Ezrachim Achrayut, L'umit. He's dealing here with the medical situation, but everyone knows it's the same argument. So he says, Zu Einam Mitbadad B'tichnun Individual Yom Yomi Sh'Rufa B'Yisrael, Kim B'Achrayut Kolel Atvach Aroch. You have to take into account the nation for the long term. V'sker Rechava Kazot, K'Shirachayut L'Briyut U'Midah Shleima, Ein L'Chashev Ima Matzav, Ha'Chshavi K'Majub HaBoskem Anal, Achein Yish Lachshov, Ki'ilu Kol Eila Sh'Yachulu M'Meshach Shanim, etc., etc. When you're dealing with a tzibur, halacha changes because of the weight of issues that come. Okay. I'll skip the next two sources. I'll just note them outside that one of the arguments that people make for why you should have from people in the police force and therefore find edger is not just big gadol, we think it's a mitzvah, but they note that the halacha we all know is when there's a pikuach nefesh case, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch pass in this way is don't do it al yedei ktanim, right? Don't through children, do it al yedei gdolei Yisrael. Why? To show everyone it's valuable. And according to the Rambam, gdolei Yisrael doesn't mean adults. Gdolei Yisrael means the gdolim, right? The rabbis, to show everyone, because they're the ones who understand halacha and therefore are sensitized to the value of life. So if Yaakov Ariel and Yisraeli know, well, wait a second. If the Rambam said the reason that you should have the rabbis being, right, being the people saving people on Shabbos because they understand the value of life, then how much more is that true on the large scale that you should bring people in to the into the situation that are from? Okay. I'm going to skip a little. Now, one of the things, as we noted, that comes up, and this, there's many, many different things that come up. These are all things which aren't directly Pikuach Nefesh, the writing reports and the like, where basically the Kav and Poskim is to say it has some Pikuach Nefesh come on, but not direct, so do it with a Derabana, and they come up with solutions for all of them, right? Temporary writing, and temporary fingerprints that you'll then copy on Motzei Shabbos, and things like that. I want to just touch on a few more points. Okay, non-Jews, right? We haven't talked about it. But non-Jews, why don't you have a Shabbos goy? Why don't you encourage a Shabbos goy to be involved with it? So here, a fundamental machlok has emerged amongst the poskim. Can the Jewish state, when it's setting up its halacha, say that institutionalized, there's going to be an institution of Shabbos goy, or is that a cop-out that we can't deal with? So here we're going to play a game that we played last time. I'm going to give you names, and guess which posek is going to say it's totally fine to have non-Jews as part of our system, and which one is going to say, no, that's a cop-out. Okay? Rav Kook, Rav Neria, who is the head of the Rav of Bnei Akiva, one of the founding people in Bnei Akiva, Yeshayahu Leibovich, right, the legendary left-wing professor who made all from people angry, right? Which one of those figures would you say, obviously non-Jews are part of our community, and therefore it's totally mutter to have them be Shabbos goyim? That's fine in our psak. And which one would say, no, the Jewish state needs to be able to function as with Jews, and we can't cop out and use non-Jews? So anyone who was here last time knows what the answer is going to be, right? But if you don't, right, which one would you guess, right? If you didn't know I was tricking you, right? Which one would you guess, right? Rav Kook, use non-Jews or not?
Use.
Right? Okay, Rav Neria, head of Bnei Akiva? Probably not, that's what I would have guessed. Yeshayahu Leibovich?
Definitely not. Use them.
Use the non-Jews, right? They're part of our state. So, not at all. Yeshayahu Leibovich said, no, that's a cop-out, you can't do it. You need a paskin for the ideal. You need to only use Jews. You need to show that halacha can work in the modern state. Rav Kook, Rav Neria? What's the problem? Of course non-Jews are part of our community. Why shouldn't we have non-Jews? Why is it a cop-out to say that you need to have a Shabbos goy for some things? Non-Jews are part of our community. Maybe that's part of what they can do and be productive members of the Jewish state. Why should I reject them? So I wouldn't have guessed that. But that is... What? Yeah, and Rav Kook says Netta Mechira. So Rav Kook doesn't say directly about police forces, But Yisrael Rosen applies Rav Kook, but Rav Neria says it explicitly, and Shai Leibovich, right, rejects it and says that he, we have to paskin for the ideal. Okay, we're really running out of time, so I'm just going to make a few last points here. Another point, Rav Rabinovich makes an interesting point. He says, look, I'm willing to accept that you're allowed to be mekel because pikuach nevesh, you're allowed to expand it. Okay, but I still don't want to keep people too long. That's, you know, I'm going to keep to the time I said. So Rav Rabinovich said, okay, I understand that we can be matir things. But he says, but even if you could come up with an argument, and we've come up with many arguments why it might be mutter, I would think that when possible, it's still worthwhile to limit the pikuach nevesh, the Chilul Shabbos to Derabbanan, even if it's not technically a chiyuv. Why? It says very simply, if you want from Jews to be police officers on Shabbos, you need at least make them feel like they're keeping Shabbos. And even if you can give me a halachic argument why Chilul Shabbos is mutter, if Shabbos feels like Chol, they're going to say, Mali Ulitzara Hazot. It's not worth my time. It may be technically mutter, but it doesn't feel like Shabbos. So he says, for a psychological reason, I would tell you, it's worthwhile to find ways of doing things in a Darabanan fashion to encourage people to do it, even if it's not necessary halachically. And I would note in 15 that the Rush actually supports this, because the Rush is commenting on the Gemara. The following shayla was arose. The Ravid was asked, if you have a cholash yesh bo sakana, so the halacha is you're always supposed to minimize the Yisurim. So he says, and yet the Gemara says you're allowed to shecht on Shabbos. He says, what if you have nevela? You have not kosher meat. Are you allowed to shecht a kosher animal on Shabbos? Or would you say, give him the not kosher meat, rather than shecht the kosher one on Shabbos, because it's a lesser Isser. It's only an Isser Lav and not an Isser Skila. So the Ravid gives one answer. The Rush says, I think you should shech the animal. You know why? So you look at it, at the end of 15, he says, he says, a frum person, if you give him treif, he's not going to want it. And even if he knows he should eat it, it might put him in danger. He's not going to be noach with it. Right? So it's better to be mechal Shabbos, shech the animal, make him feel better. Because from people need to feel like they're, you know, they're keeping halacha, even if it's mutter, you need to assuage their emotional connection to halacha, even if it's not rational. So Rabinovich says the same thing. He says, even if I could justify it, I would tell you, try to find ways of doing things derabanan when it's not going to endanger people, right? Even if I could find heterim so that people will feel better about it. Rav Shachar Kihain in 16, in that direction says on the positive, on the essays, says the same thing is true, and this is what we mentioned before, that you should find ways of making from people feel like they're keeping Shabbos, not just in the level of loving, but on essays also. And he has different suggestions. Make sure they have a Shabbos meal with a white tablecloth, or even just tell them to wear their white Shabbos kippah on Shabbos. Just something, because from people want to feel like it's Shabbos, and even if it's mutter for them to go about their normal reason for goach nefesh, from people, if you want them, please first, you need to let them not just not be over loving, you need to give them the feeling they're being Shomer Shabbos. So therefore, you should try to find ways of doing it, A, because there's a mitzvah, but B, part of integrating people is not just telling you what's technically mutter, but giving people a religious experience. And the last point, you can read it inside, in 20, is that is something we've touched on, is that there seems to be a systematic machlokas amongst many of the poskim. Here he quotes the machlokas of Neria and Shailevich, who actually had a machlokas of whether you paskin towards utopia or you paskin based on the reality, which is again one of those things that you have to think about that we've seen sort of coming up over and over. So again, just to summarize the issues that have come up here, right? So, straight pikuach nefesh, obviously mutter. But pikuach nefesh in this situation may be expanded for a host of reasons. A, statistics. B, quality of life may be called pikuach nefesh in the case of a tzibur. And three, hilchot medina. Furthermore, the question of do you paskin based on the reality that not everyone's firmware, do you say that no, you have to paskin for the ideal? A, because your responsibility as a posik is to paskin for the nation, and also because you want to prove that Allah can deal with reality. Is it a problem to say that we're going to rely on Goyim, or do we recognize that they're integral parts of our society, and therefore it's not a problem to sometimes say that you can rely on Goyim? And what I didn't note here is that some of the poskim say maybe for the Daraisas, the real Pikuach Nefesh, don't rely on a Goy, but why shouldn't you have the Goy be the person taking the intake, right, and doing the fingerprinting, right? The thinker should not be Pikuach Nefesh, it's easy, just get a Goy, right? Why not, right? Even if you think that the ideal of being the police officer, you shouldn't. But at some point, you have to say they are part of a society, and that's okay. And in addition to the technical halachic things, finding ways of minimizing violation of Shabbos, even when it might be mutter, to make religious people comfortable if you think it's a value for them to be part of the police forces, and similar on the flip side, to find ways of them being mekayim the asay. And again, as we've seen, part of the machlokas, to what extent is the job of posik to paskin for utopia or to paskin for the metzias in front of him. So this issue is not just a pressing halachic issue, but it's an issue that touches on many of the fundamental points of what it means to be a posik in the 21st century in Israel, what it means to be a religious Zionist posik, beyond the local halachic questions of what do you do on Shabbos, right? It points to much greater issues that you think are important to thinking about when you think about what halacha might look like in a religious state.